What's good, everybody? Wednesday morning, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Pete Jensen here with Rob Reese talking fantasy pucks and sports betting and the works here. We got a slate of rematches on Wednesday. We got a ton of waiver wire news to get to. Robbie, what's going on, man?
What's up, Petey? How you doing today? Yeah, jam-packed show. We've got a special guest today, Erin Kate Dolan. She's going to break down her Flyers takes, some sports betting advice, some futures plays, some MVP talk, Pete. So we'll flip that to her in the interview, and then we'll do a little wrap at the end of the show.
And great to be joined by Erin Kate Dolan from FanDuel Sportsbook. She does a great job over there covering sports betting. Erin, know you're a big Flyers fan and you love hockey. Great to have you on the show here.
Yes, thanks so much for having me on. I know we're all Penn State grads. I'm excited about that. I am a Flyers fan, so I'm happy they got the win last night, but barely, against one of the worst teams ever.
Barely.
So barely is an understatement. But yeah, all around happy to be on and have a combo with you guys about some hockey.
Yeah, welcome to the show. So speaking of the Flyers, we have had questions not only for fantasy about Carter Hart, but also about the team in general for betting, Erin. I just feel like this is kind of the Flyers that we've seen the last few seasons where they're a little bit hot and cold. What would you say is having a good pulse on the Flyers? Do you believe in this team to be a true contender this season?
Yeah, I mean, as a fan, of course, I want to see them win. But as someone who covers, you know, this sport, I'm realistic. So I mean, I feel like this all comes down to the goalie. They're like the quarterbacks of the NFL. So, I mean, that's how important they are. And considering how Carter Hart is playing, I just don't know what type of run we can really go on. I mean, last season, he completed his first NHL playoff run with a stellar .926 save percentage. And he had the best single. He was, I would say, the reason we considered that we even did that well that season. He ranked as one of the best starting goalies in the league in 2019 and 20 regular season. And, of course, he was 22. So we have this hype as fans, and as someone who's covered the Flyers for a little bit now, we're like, okay, breathe. We have a goalie. We can make this run, just like in the NFL when you get a quarterback. But now we have to put the pieces around him. But I feel like we have that veteran group. We also have that young core. But it just really comes down to, can Carter Hart play for us the way we need him to? And I think he needs a confidence boost probably at this point. But if we don't turn things around with Carter Hart, there's no way that the Flyers are going to make the playoffs. And in terms of betting on them, you're right. They have been hot and cold. They started out hot. They kind of, you know, they're in this tough division, which doesn't help. I mean, I would consider the East Division with the Islanders, Capitals, Bruins, Penguins, Flyers, and more, one of the hardest divisions, considering that now we have new divisions because of COVID and all those types of things. But the Flyers really need to figure it out with Carter Hart and then work from there. I think being in a tough division and playing teams back to back also isn't helping them in terms of, from a betting perspective, and just all around betting in the NHL right now is not the easiest thing because teams are playing, you know, back to back games, or they're fitting all these games into a week slate. So all around, just the Flyers are fun to bet on, I guess, if they're winning. But when they play the Sabres and they make it into a shootout, yeah, it's not too fun.
Yeah, they've been getting some really surprise performances this season, whether it's been from James Van Riemsdyk, from Joel Farabee, even Shane Gostisbehere, good old Ghost Bear, getting in on the action lately, tying the game late yesterday, sending it to overtime. And that just makes me wonder, like, what is the Flyers' ceiling? We saw them, you know, get pretty far in the playoffs last year, and they were ultimately doomed by their lack of offense. If they get the offense this year, and if Carter Hart bounces back at some point, the ceiling actually could be pretty high if you're looking at futures for the Philadelphia Flyers. But Erin, if you're looking at futures to win the cup right now, what's your best pick out there? I would assume it's probably not the Flyers.
Yeah, it's not the Flyers. I know everyone's always like, you're a fan, that's why you pick the Flyers. I'm like, no, I know when and not to pick the Flyers. At least I hope I do. But I'm going to be honest, a lot of people are either futures bettors or people like me who like to bet game to game. Of course, there's a mixture of those. But in terms of betting on the Stanley Cup, it's one of the hardest things to bet into and actually hit. So, I mean, the last people to win the Stanley Cup back-to-back was the Penguins, 2016-2017. So it's doable for the Tampa Bay Lightning because, one, they're the favorite right now, plus 600. Toronto sits behind them at plus 700. Then you have the Vegas Golden Knights, who every year I think they're going to win it, and then they get close, no cigar. They open top this season, 10-3-1. They actually were the favorites to win at one point. They jumped the Avalanche, who opened as the favorite to win this year. Vegas currently sitting in third at plus 750. But now with the pandemic, I'd argue anything's possible. I'm going to say, like I said last season, it's about whoever gets hot at the right time. We know a player can test positive, the dominoes can fall. So betting into this market is very hard. It's less predictable than the years past. But since I think the East is the strongest division and some of the top teams are up there, you have Boston 13-1, you have the Islanders who dropped to 13-1 overnight from 16-1, and then you have Philadelphia at 17-1. They moved up after their shootout win over the Sabres, which is embarrassing. But I think out of all these three teams, and being that it's competitive, I would have to go with somebody who plays in the East. So in some, I don't want to dance around who I would pick at the end, but if I was picking right now today, I would have to say Islanders 13-1. They have value there. They keep moving down. They're on a 6-game win streak. They're hot. So if I had picked this exact moment, I'd have to go with the Islanders, which pains me because they are in my East division. But in short, again, it's just really hard to bet on the Stanley Cup because it's a known thing to bettors. It's very hard to hit. Then add on top of that COVID and the new realignment of the divisions. It can be pretty tough. But the one thing that I wanted to note, and we talked about this, is Tampa Bay is the favorite at plus 600. But we aren't seeing teams in the plus 200 range or in the plus 300 range yet. So the board's completely open still. We have the second half of the season that's going to be grueling, and it's going to be about who gets hot, who has the stamina. But I think what's interesting is just they're not moving down again to that 200, 300 range. So it's still open for honestly a ton of teams. And the one team to keep an eye on, as well as the Panthers, they opened up around 47-1, depending on where you placed your bet. But they moved to 20-1. They're in the top 10 now. So it's going to be interesting to see the second half of the season and how some of these teams move around the Stanley Cup odds board.
Well, I like the Islanders pick a lot because that's a team, even going back to the bubble last year, they had a lot of adversity, but they overcame it. They were very hard to play against. And it just seemed like every night, even if they lost a game, like they were in it until the final buzzer blew, right? So I love that Islanders pick. And I also think it goes to show the realignment is going to have a big implication in the playoffs this season. Huge. Like look at Toronto Maple Leafs, right? It's like, we love this team during the regular season, but there's always something that happens to them in the postseason. And this year, I'm kind of getting the feeling that it's going to be a reseeding thing. And they're going to get a tough matchup. Whereas the Islanders, they're playing good teams every single night. The Leafs, on the other hand, they're getting a lot of favorable matchups. The scoring is unbelievable. I mean, you could play the over every single night in the North Division and you'd probably, 75% return right now or something like that. So I'm just a little bit skeptical of teams like Toronto, where I'd be more comfortable putting a shekel down on the Islanders, Pete.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. And I actually think the way like a team like Vancouver is playing right now, like, they're probably not going to get in right now because they have played the most games in the league. But like when you're talking about a team that might not even make the playoffs, maybe being the Leafs' biggest competition, I know they just took two games from Toronto. That just shows how wacky it is. And, you know, Toronto, this might be the year for them. You have to acknowledge that. I know they haven't won a playoff series since 2004, but serious chances for them. And Aaron, I wanted to ask you about like some of the prop futures out there, just in terms of like NHL awards. Like, is anybody on your radar either for coach of the year or rookie of the year, Calder trophy, or maybe even MVP? Like I know Leafs coach Sheldon Keefe is one guy that has really, you know, put all the negativity aside and done a really nice job this year. Joel Quenneville is another one for the Florida Panthers. I always look to coach of the year for like the surprise team out there, and then also like for some of these other awards other than MVP, I think you could always look to the surprise teams out there to find some good value for who will win those awards.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of value in those markets. I would say they're not the easiest to bet into because a lot of things can happen, of course, throughout the season. I personally always love covering MVP markets because I think they're fun. It's more of a traditional market that everyone can relate to. There's always those long shots you can place bets on, but really from covering MVP markets for a couple years now, right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook, we have the Oilers, Connor McDavid. He sits favored minus 115. We're not surprised by that. Then you have Patrick Kane plus 250. He's the fourth player to score 1,000 career points. He just played in his 1,000th game last night, I believe. So that's insane to think about. Then in the mix there, you have Austin Matthews. He's in the mix plus 500 last night. That moved to plus 400 overnight. But he's reporting to be dealing with wrist injuries. It's making him uncomfortable to shoot in time. So I would stick with the top two when looking at this market. And there's more value, of course, on Patrick Kane at plus 250. But there's not bad value on McDavid. So it really comes down to who's the better player in the second half of the season. The rest of the field is, you know, way higher than these top three. And to me, that screams that those other players don't really have a chance unless something crazy happens. Their team goes on a crazy streak and they're playing the best for 10, 15 games. They're not going to catch Connor McDavid. And that's why I would pick him as my MVP right now. The Oilers are 16-11, top of the North Division. The Blackhawks are 13-8. They're in the middle of the pack. So if we're boiling it down to a team's record, I would definitely take MVP Connor McDavid. And as a bettor, when looking at the MVP market, yes, it does move around a lot. But when you start seeing a player at minus money, you have a pretty good sense that the odds maker is going to the odds maker is predicting that this person is going to win, and they probably have more information than we do. So I would recommend that if you like Connor McDavid at this price, get him at that number now, because I do believe it's going to increase. And I know that we're only midway through the season, and fans and bettors alike could be like, oh, well, this could happen. But I don't want to say I'm positive, because you never want to say that in betting, but a player who's 34-1 and above, like Alex Ovechkin, like, he's going to have to do something absolutely incredible to claim MVP for the regular season. You know what I mean? So it's just kind of looking at where the market value is now, and you just kind of have to narrow it down to the top two and then figure out where their team record is, and then how you could find some type of value, maybe on the rest of the board. But again, looking at MVP markets and how I've covered them, if you do see players who are, you know, 10-1 and above, it's really hard for them to win that.
I agree. I mean, especially with Patrick Kane this year, I mean, if the Chicago Blackhawks somehow make the postseason, like, that is a lock for him to win, right? And then McDavid, it's a safe bet, because say what you want about the Oilers, but McDavid brings it every single night, and they do not have quality goaltending. Even their defense is a little bit suspect night to night. So I think it's impressive what both those players are doing. Now, in terms of disappointments this season, Aaron, I know there's been a few teams that have come out a little bit slow. We're trying to see them trending up. Who has either disappointed you player or team-wise?
I mean, this is just so sad. I feel like it has to be the Sabres. I mean, they might as well pack their bags and call it a season. No one was expecting them to do great, but I mean, 6-14, they need to show up to games. They need to figure it out. They're plus 25,000 to win the Stanley Cup right now, alongside the Red Wings and the Senators. They moved back last night, which is insane. I mean, every day there's movement, but when you move worse consecutive days, it's terrible. But their disappointment, to say the least, this could be the 10th consecutive season without the Sabres in the Eastern Conference playoffs. They've had 6 coaches, 3 general managers the last 9 years. It's a whole debacle. They had, you know, Jack Hechel is their generational talent. He hasn't even played in a playoff game. He was out last night against the Flyers. But the Sabres squad, I mean, they've lost 8 straight games. Their last win was against the Devils on February 25th. I would just say overall, they're the most disappointing team. When you have a team that you know is going to be bad coming into the season, and then they disappoint you to the point of it, they're this bad, I think there's something to be said for that.
They definitely drew the wrong straw there, you know, being in the East Division. They're normally in the Atlantic. And that was, I feel like, that was the one thing that really derailed them, after they actually had a pretty good offseason. And, you know, you look at their star players. I mean, we've talked ad nauseum about them. I guess there's a little bit of an excuse with Eichel because of the injury, but where has Taylor Hall been? Where has Jeff Skinner, big money Skinner, been? Non-existent really for most of the season. And Rasmus Dahlin is another one. So yeah, my pick would probably be Vancouver. Like I said, it pains me that they, you know, would be a tough out in the playoffs, and they're probably not going to get there. But I think that people expected Buffalo, back to your pick, Aaron, people expected them to be a little bit more competitive. When you see them get blown out of the water by a team like the Islanders every time they play them, it's just disappointing for sure. So that's a good pick.
Well, and with the Sabres too, it's like they make the offseason splash, right, with Taylor Hall, and get absolutely zero return for it. Their number one pick, Dahlin, is the worst plus minus player in the whole league. And you're just like, you don't need, the most frustrating thing for me is you don't even see incremental pieces of progress. Like, it's flat out nothing for that Buffalo team. So that's what I have a big problem with. But Bobby, why don't we turn it ahead to the slate here? I do want to tip my cap to our producer. He is on fire with sports betting and picks this week. So why don't I tee up here, Bobby, and see if you like anything for the Wednesday slate.
Another team I would throw in the mix there as most disappointing, the Calgary Flames. I think they have a decent personnel. They have a good top line. They go out and get the goalie. They've been a team very disappointing. Of course, they made the coaching change. The Wednesday slate, and Aaron, so happy to have you with us here. We got about 5 games on the slate. What is grabbing your attention as you look at the big board on this Wednesday, where you'd put a shekel? You know, is it an underdog? Is it a total? What are you looking at, Aaron?
So these are the same games that were played on Monday. So on Monday, underdogs went 4-1 with Vegas and Minnesota Wild closing pick 'em. Upsets by Arizona, Anaheim, Sharks, Vancouver. Unders went 5-1. So keep that in mind as we head into this. So I have three picks that I like. One, Vancouver Canadiens. The game's at 11 p.m. I will be asleep for this, so hopefully I hit this when I wake up. Vancouver on a three-game win streak with a day of rest. I would say that this streak has to end for a 12-15 team. So unless you think that Vancouver is suddenly going to be this hot team, I would go with the Canadiens at this one. Plus, last game, it ended in a shootout, and the Canucks won 2-1. So under hitting that as well if you like that. But I would take the Canadiens in this. I would parlay them. -154 because it's not the best value. So throw them in something, but I do like them tonight on the money line.
Very nice. Hey, I rode Montreal over the weekend, and boy, did that pay dividends with a total blowout. And that was a sledgehammer pick. Listen, the line has jumped from -110 to -150. So the folks out there agree with you. And Montreal's been playing a lot better. And you know, the fact that they are playing that back to back, basically with the game on Monday, I kind of like that Habs pick, and a parlay too, maybe would be the right thing to do with that. Maybe Colorado, maybe Edmonton. Although I think Ottawa might be a live dog tonight. Petey, what do you got?
Yeah, I was going to say there's a really good chance that the Avalanche bounce back here. I know they're, you know, heavily favored and stuff like that, but it sounds like they're going to get Nathan MacKinnon back. And you know, if Nathan MacKinnon's hearing all this conversation about Connor McDavid out there, he hasn't been too shabby himself. And I think it's just a good bounce back spot for the Avalanche, who will probably get MacKinnon back, might even get Cale Makar back there. It's been a little murky on that player. He was day to day, but he's been out for what, a week and a half or so at this point. So keep an eye on the injury news for the Avalanche. And, you know, I think hammer those, maybe not quite sledgehammer, but hammer the Colorado Avalanche to bounce back here.
You got to clarify if it's a hammer, a sledgehammer, because a sledgehammer is a big deal here. It's very rare that you come across a sledgehammer. Go ahead, Robbie.
Yeah, I was just going to say my pick here before we say goodbye to Aaron is the Kings for the night. They've had four straight one-goal games. That's a team that reminds me of the Wild from last season where they're kind of in it every single night. I love betting on teams like that. I'm not pulling out the sledge because the Ducks do have a pulse now, but I just like that matchup a lot for the teams in California tonight.
Aaron, is there a total on the board that's grabbing your eye? And then, listen, we have a bunch of sports fans in the mix. I'm a huge college hoops junkie. As I look at the Wednesday, you know, conference tournament, championship week board, is there a college hoops game that you can steer me to that you like on the board tonight?
All right, so college hoops, there's a lot of, there's so many. We have the Big Ten, we have Big 12, Big East, yeah. ACC. Yesterday I was mad at myself because I didn't take Miami as the underdog and I wanted to. I kind of like them against Clemson today, but they are playing on a back-to-back. They're +9 right now. But I have to give you like some type of lock. I know that you were saying before this that you thought the line for Duke was surprising. I'll take Duke because you know what? They need to survive. They okay. need this win. They have to win this conference tournament team and make it to March Madness and all that type of stuff. So I would go with Duke because yesterday I baited them. It didn't work out for me. I'll take Duke favored with the points.
All righty, there you have it. Blue Devils, Coach K. That line grabbed me also, so we're riding the Blue Devils. Aaron, a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, we are very excited to have you on here, and thanks so much for joining us. Looking forward to college basketball, by the way, for tournament time. Kind of got taken away from us by surprise last year, but right, I think the attention on that big tournament, always one of the best times of year, and we're looking forward to it as well. But thanks again, Aaron, for joining
Thank
us.
Thank you, Aaron.
Yep, of course. Thanks for having me.
So great stuff from Aaron there. And Petey, one thing I think that was just kind of glossed over that caught me here that I want to react to a little bit. Casually, she dropped that the Florida Panthers are contenders. That's a big statement, considering when you look at the offseason last year, the Panthers looked like they were kind of cutting expenses, right? Shedding some players. But everything from a fantasy standpoint and sports gambling standpoint has gone well for that team. Do you agree with that, Petey?
I think they have a better chance of hanging around than the Blackhawks do. I mean, that may seem obvious based on the standings, but they have two goalies that they could turn to. As much as we rag on Bobrovsky, you know, gets a win the last time out. You know, he can get you some W's. It may not be pretty in the peripherals. And then Chris Drieger, you know, has been one of the breakout goalies of the past 2 years and just keeps it going. I mean, very quietly too. And he's in a contract year, 2021 UFA. So he's got a lot to prove. You could very well see this be, you know, a Thomas Greiss situation where the next guy is coming in next year and he ends up on a bad team next year in free agency, not to speculate, but he's got a lot to play for. If he wants to be the starter in Florida past this season, he's got to really take every single game like it's his last. So yeah, I think it's a good opportunity for him. The scoring balance is there with Florida. I mean, the fact that they could spread it out onto two lines, even if they want to do what Edmonton does sometimes and stack everybody up top when they're struggling, they're able to do that. They have that luxury, but you want your footprint of your roster to be more balanced. And I think that's something that Florida has achieved this year, which speaks to their staying power for the rest of the season.
Well, and it kind of piggybacks into the MVP talk that we had on the show too, because Chicago, who's in the same division as Florida, like, they're starting to drop some games now where they really just have no business even being in them. And it's starting to become more clear to me than ever. I think there's some trends you can get away with early in the season. You know, teams are still kind of finding their chemistry, finding their play, especially teams that had changes over the offseason. But the Chicago team, to me, is starting to unravel a little bit. I guess we should say, though, with the caveat that Kirby Dach has been practicing, he's going to travel on their road trip and could play within the next week. So that would be certainly a huge boost for them.
One thing actually about Chicago that's interesting is their 5-on-5 shooting percentage is among the lowest in the league, which normally indicates that you have a further gear to work with if you get better fortunes. I know Kane and DeBrincat have been unbelievable, and even Kubalik on the power play this year. And if they can get Doc back and, you know, have actually three good center options, even four if you count Kurashev. I mean, right, if you're looking at Doc, Kurashev, Dylan Strome, and Pius Suter, yeah, I mean, like, you can actually have four good lines down the middle. So Chicago's 5-on-5 shooting percentage is 7.4%. Worst in the NHL is Nashville, no surprise there, 5.8, and they just lost Roman Josi, so it's going to get even worse for them. But yeah, that Doc injury implications with him joining them on the road trip. I mean, right, Robbie? I think we went out there and stashed him in a couple of our leagues. When you have the IR plus spot or even just a straight IR, he's still on there, and his fantasy roster percentage is extremely low. That's a guy that we thought would break out in this season before he was injured at the World Juniors.
Well, and it's one of those situations where even if you already have someone on IR plus, I would cut your streamer right now, whether it's a Jordan Greenway, somebody like that, a Christian Dvorak, Nick Schmaltz, someone that you've picked up in the last few weeks, maybe. I would make the move now just because Doc is a big time player. He should be with Patrick Kane. I mean, at worst, he could be with a guy like Kubalik, who's also been on fire this year. I mean, DeBrincat, you know, I mean, there's options for Chicago. There's options for them to roll two strong lines, even without Tave. So I think Doc has a really high ceiling for the rest of the season. He's a guy that the whole lineup gets an immediate boost from. And if you think about it organizationally, you mentioned that, you know, two or three other good centers there, Petey. I mean, Doc should be the crystal clear cut number one, though, logging around 18 to 20 minutes a game, right? So I think this just has huge fantasy implications. And I think that's the one saving grace for the Chicago team, even though they do have some metrics, as you alluded to, that could be improved upon. I really think they need a guy like Kirby Dach to solidify that group, to get that little offensive boost, because it's true, Kubalik could come down to earth a little bit, same with DeBrincat. So you just want that insurance policy that Dach is going to bring.
Their shot attempts percentage is second worst in the NHL. And the worst is the Blue Jackets, who are really having some issues right now, even though they're getting, you know, some of the band back together with Werenski, and Elvis is, you know, off IR and stuff like that. I mean, if they're at the bottom of the league in that category, that's a big problem. And then third worst is the New York Rangers. I also wanted to just touch on the Flyers. I mean, just to mention their cup odds. I think that Aaron, what she was saying, like, it boils down to Carter Hart. That was something like we said in the preseason, right? I was saying like Carter Hart could be in the mix for the Vezina, but the Flyers could miss the playoffs. That's something that resonates really well right now. But the Flyers plus 1600 to win the Stanley Cup. I was actually hoping it would be a little more of a long shot than that. I don't love them stacking up against, say, the five or six best teams in the NHL right now. I don't think they're there. I don't even think they're in the top 10. In terms of best teams in the league right now.
Well, it's interesting because, I mean, I look at their roster too, and I don't think it all comes down to Carter Hart. Like, I like that storyline because he could be a big time gamer. He played well in the playoffs last year, but you have a guy right now like Joel Farabee, who's playing at a point per game pace. He's got 22 points in 22 games. I mean, that is ridiculous. You have guys on the second line like Konechny, like Hayes, and then the third line right now is Giroux and Voracek. I mean, I just don't see this group having the horses to trade chances with the Bostons, with the Washingtons, with the Torontos, if it came down to that. They don't. And like, that's my gripe with this Flyers team. It's like, let's all kid ourselves and think that Joel Farabee is going to be a 90-point player in the league over a full season. I'm not seeing that. Like, that would be a great storyline for them. But I think it comes down to their offense and defense too. And the fact that we're even talking about Shane Gostisbehere, I like the you know, redemption storyline. But you're going to need Provorov to be the guy. You're going to need Provorov to play like a Hedman, to play like a Carlson, right? To play like a Morgan Riley. And we just haven't seen that consistently.
16-1 for the Flyers to get to the Stanley Cup. I'll give you a bunch of teams odds I like a lot more than the Flyers. The Islanders are up there 24-1. The Washington Capitals, 25-1. I would take them over the Flyers.
How on earth are the Capitals 25-1 and the Flyers are 16-1? This is getting ridiculous.
The Panthers are 27-1. And then another team I think is getting too much respect is the Oilers at 14-1. I prefer the Carolina Hurricanes at 12-1. So, you know, these Stanley Cup odds, they fluctuate. And of course, Vegas knows more than us. I just don't see how the Flyers are 16-1. The Islanders are 24-1. The Capitals are 25-1. And the Panthers are 27-1. So there's a bunch of other teams I'd rather take than the Philadelphia Flyers at that number, right?
I mean, there's better value than the Oilers. I think the Flyers have a better chance to win the Cup than the Oilers do, but that's not saying much. There's like another 10, 15 teams out there that are competitive teams. And, you know, I know I mentioned the coach of the year conversation. I just wanted to say that I think Dean Evason definitely deserves some love in that regard, especially when you look at like the rematch coming up against Vegas and they've played them three times. Two tight losses, one victory on Monday with the shutout from Kaapo Kakkonen and with Kaprizov and Kakkonen and Zuccarello and some of these other studs like Eriksson Ek. I mean, we really didn't expect Eriksson Ek to be a top six center, let alone top line center. So it's been really impressive to see what he's done and to see like a no-name coach like that kind of just burst onto the scene last year and then continue it despite like Kevin Fiala, that was his guy last year, and he's having a down year, and they're still looking like a contender in the West Division. It's really a masterful job by him. I would go out there and you know, throw a shekel on Dean Evason to win Coach of the Year because they could keep this up.
Well, in the Minnesota Wild as a team, PD, in the playoffs, you probably don't want to face either, right? So it's like they have a tight system of hockey. Their defense is so strong, they can shut a game down. And now with Kaprizov, Fiala, Greenway producing offensively, like they can trade chances with you. So I don't want to be too hard on one team in particular. Like the Flyers are a good hockey team. I just don't think they're in that upper echelon conversation yet. And I certainly don't think they'll be hoisting a Stanley Cup trophy anytime soon. The one thing I do want to be fair about though, and be crystal clear with the viewers, is that this reseeding, when teams get to the playoffs, anything could happen. You know, you could draw a great matchup in the first round, and by that win alone, you could have confidence in be playing lights out and just go through the Stanley Cup playoffs rolling. So that's one storyline I think that makes this futures betting a little bit unique this year, is that you can kind of normally in seasons past, like see, okay, Toronto's probably playing Boston in round one. I don't love that. You know, but this year it's like I have a rougher time, you know, making all of that out.
Yeah, it will be fun once the playoff field is set and you start looking at the teams that sneak in as the fourth team that might be able to weave through their division to get to the conference final. That's the main difference here, is that, and I brought it up before the show, like a team like Calgary, if they somehow can get in the top four and they start going on a run, which we've seen Daryl Sutter's team, I'm not saying they're going to do it, but you're going to see something like that. I mean, Columbus also, you know, they're struggling. Can they get in as the fourth seed and then go on a run and get to the final four? We saw it with Dallas last year. So it's going to be wild. It's a different year. I think it's made it, Aaron is 100% right. It's made it a lot more difficult to sort of handicap these games and figure out off the back-to-back what's going to happen and who has the edge. It's a lot trickier. The lack of fans in all sports makes it trickier to handicap. But that's the beauty of it, is you got to embrace the chaos. And maybe, like I said at the beginning of the year, you take your foot off the gas a little bit than you normally would on a regular season, where you kind of have all these elements in place. You know what's going to go on. Maybe be a little bit more conservative. I would say the same thing about the NCAA tournament this year. Don't go crazy. Don't go crazy, folks. Always bet responsibly and keep that in mind, that things this year are a little different than years past.
Well, I wanted to mention to Robbie, see what he thought. I actually, in our joint league, I picked up at night when, you know, I didn't check with you first, but I picked up Jason Robertson from the Dallas Stars after he had four assists. We actually had an empty roster spot. He's playing on a nice line right now with Rupe Hintz. Anytime Rupe Hintz and Radulov will come back eventually too, and probably play on that line as well. Kivi Ranta's there right now, but I mean, Rupe Hintz, the unfortunate thing with him is like every other game he's sitting out, 'cause I think he's banged up and it's probably not going away, unfortunately, but Robertson looks like the real deal. He's up to 13 points in 16 games this year, and all of it pretty much is coming at even strength.
Well, unlike some other players we talked about, Robertson is sustainable because this guy's 6'4", 225 pounds. He's very hard to play against, and he can go head-to-head with any line in that division. Let's say against Alex Killorn's line, for example. That's another heavy one. Robertson's going to get in there and make things hard to play against, and I love picking players like that up in fantasy because everything that we've talked about the Dallas Stars hasn't really worked out, hasn't really gone right for them this season. They have a lot of room to grow, especially when Radulov gets back in there. Let's not forget, Radulov was putting up major points, Pete, right before he went down with an injury. So that's kind of the player that they need, not to mention Seguin on the shelf, not to mention Ben Bishop on the shelf. Haven't talked about that guy in forever. So this Dallas team has a lot of room to grow. And I like to place bets on teams like that or pick guys up on teams like that, where even Columbus, I guess you can start to add into that conversation where there's actually some room to grow, not room to regress.
Yeah, and in general, we've seen inconsistency from Dallas and Columbus this year, but Dallas has played far fewer games. Dallas has shown you a lot more in terms of their boom or bust potential. If you could see Ottinger giving you some quality starts, Khudobin and him maybe mixing and matching the rest of the way. That's a team, like, if they're playing head-to-head against Columbus and the Blackhawks and then the Florida Panthers, and then the bottom dwellers like Nashville, who I mentioned are without Josi and Ryan Ellis right now moving forward. Forsberg's been great, but they have absolutely nothing else on that roster. And then the Detroit Red Wings, I mean, so many favorable matchups. If you're looking at having 5-6 games in hand on everybody, I mean, they can make up 10 points like it's nothing, especially when they get Radulov back. So that's one team, like, I just thought about overnight, like, we know that they have bounce back appeal, but go out there and place something on that team because of the schedule and the favorable matchups in that central division. Dallas has a great chance once Radulov comes back, and with the emergence of Robertson, that seems to be like a spark plug that maybe could get something going for that team right now.
And with Columbus, I think my bone to pick with that group is that they're already only rolling 2.5-3 lines in the games, PD. And I do not like seeing that on March 10th with games to go. I just think that they're already showing that they don't have the horses to compete in that division. And I think if there was not a realignment this season, Columbus would have been a better pick to make the playoffs. I just don't think they can go head to head now that Florida has the juice. Now that Tampa, I mean, we already know what they are, but Carolina is a bona fide contender now. Dallas is playing better, right? Nashville, you can write them off after the Josi injury. It looks like Fabro has a hearing today too. I mean, if he gets suspended, that is going to be a bloodbath for the Predators. So I do like this Dallas team. I'm not sold on them making the playoffs, but it's worth saying that they're rolling four lines still. They're playing quality hockey despite all of their injuries.
And you're getting a little bit more now from Miro Heiskanen too lately. You should go out and check out Robbie's defenseman rankings, nhl.com/fantasy. I believe Heiskanen's back in the top 20. And that's a guy like in a matter of 2 weeks could be in the top 5 or 10 at the position if he keeps this thing going.
What did you guys think of Aaron's Montreal Canadiens pick? The price is getting a little out of control at -150. Would you parlay it with the Colorado? Do you like the Montreal pick, or you steer clear of this Vancouver team that's steaming along here?
I like Montreal. I mean, and respect to Vancouver for getting things together. It's not easy to do that. It's not easy to make things work out on the fly. I mean, you have Pettersson on the shelf. So if he were back in the lineup, I wouldn't go near that, Bobby. But I really do like this Montreal club. They have what it takes, and I think they've leveled the ship a little bit. They were going through a major hailstorm, yeah. And now it's kind of they're just kind of slowing things down. Shea Weber hasn't even been playing that well. Once he finds his elite game, I think they still have a little room to go. So I would take that Montreal play. That being said, though, Petey, I think it is one of the interesting storylines that Vancouver is making a push here. And if there's one division you want to be in to make a late season push, it's the North Division.
Yeah, that's what I was saying before with all the potential matchups in the playoffs. We keep narrowing it down to Montreal and Calgary, who's going to get the fourth spot. But what if it ends up being Vancouver. I mean, what Vancouver would need to do the rest of the way is they would have to be the best team probably in the North Division for the rest of the season from this point on. It may be tough to do that without Elias Pettersson for at least another week. That's going to be another hurdle thrown at that team. But what about when Pettersson gets back, if they can survive it? Like, I know in our DFS picks for Wednesday, we're rolling JT Miller because he's playing great and he's playing center. I mean, what if they could spread things out? I know Miller and Pettersson have been a great duo, but Besser's been great as well, and Bo Horvat as well. So, like, all of a sudden, if you wanted to roll four strong centers with Miller and Pettersson and Horvat and Adam Gaudette, who scored a clutch goal the other day, by the way, I mean, they're getting those contributions, and they have a very deep lineup, at least in their forward group, now that this JT Miller playing center trend is coming into fruition.
Okay. Well, the thing is, we're seeing here, and we saw it with my last two sledgehammers, is the line for the Canadiens on Saturday, which I thought was a fishy line, and I love the Canadiens Saturday night at home. It jumped up. Same thing with Dallas. They were, you know, short favorites, and you have to realize why. And then it jumped up because they were so desperate. And again, Malcolm Subban was in net. You're seeing it with Montreal tonight. So something to keep an eye on. Kings tonight. Keep an eye on that. The line has shifted from the Ducks as a favorite to now the Kings as a favorite. That game was wild the other night. I mean, back and forth, crazy. Keep an eye on that. And I think Colorado wins. And Ottawa might be a live dog tonight. Ottawa might be a live dog at plus 200. I'm not going to take them, but keep an eye on it.
I wanted to react to this Calgary thing, though. Let's not fool ourselves or fool the viewers here into thinking that this is somehow a good play. When Daryl Sutter took over for the Kings, I mean, they had a 24-year-old Anze Kopitar. Justin Williams was in his prime at 29. Dustin Brown was 26. Mike Richards was 26. And Drew Doughty was 21 years old. And they had Jonathan Quick coming in and being lights out for that team. I'm just not seeing the same situation in Calgary. Again, I'd love the storyline, but I don't want to sit here and say that history is just going to keep repeating itself over and over and over again. And some, now, if Calgary goes out at the prior to the trade deadline and gets an elite right shot wing, by all means, I'm back in on the team. But I just can't sit here and make the argument today.
I get it. I get it from what you've seen on the ice. I get it. But if you start looking at teams that are outside of the playoff picture, and the Vancouver Canucks are a good example, maybe a better example even than the Calgary Flames. They're outside of the playoff picture, but if they can get in to that fourth spot and then win the division in the playoffs, because they're playing free, they win a series, they win another series, and then they're in the final four, basically. There's a few teams that jump out. Calgary was one of them, just based off of the fact that I like their top line. I like their grit. There's things that I don't like, of course. I like the fact that Sutter's done it. Maybe they get things straightened out. Again, it's a long shot. I actually think the Canucks are probably a better pick than the Flames to do that. But keep an eye on it. I don't have those odds, but they're out there. I tried finding them. I can't get my hands on them. What the odds would be for like the Flames or the Canucks to win the division once the playoffs start. I don't have those odds right now.
Yeah, that's something that could very well happen if Vancouver could sneak in. I could see either Vancouver or Dallas getting in. So those are two, and those are two teams right now. Like, there are not many teams right now that you could say are kind of buried in the standings that still have a chance to make the playoffs. So I like this conversation for sure. And one other DFS pick that I wanted to mention before we wrap the show, Kyler Yamamoto on the top line for the Oilers with McDavid and Draisaitl. Robbie, your reaction? Is he must add once again, a guy that was close to a point per game last year?
I mean, Petey, is there any better line placement in the entire league in fantasy?
No.
I mean, there's even not. Colorado top line, like, that's great, but not for Yamamoto. Like, Yamamoto playing with Draisaitl and McDavid, you could be looking at 2 points per game for the rest of the season if that lineup placement sticks and they form chemistry. Like, that is bananas. So you have to get Yamamoto. I would drop a good player for him at this point too, just because you cannot miss on that exposure. Now, it should be said that in the past, you know, there have been wings that have troubled, you know, had trouble maintaining that spot with those guys. But I think Yamamoto is just a high-end player. He's a bit feisty too. He will retrieve pucks in the corner if need be. So I think they're going to find some good chemistry here. And if you see Edmonton get hot again, there's no reason why they would break up that line.
Yeah, it's fair. I mean, Puljujarvi's been there pretty much all season, and you just haven't seen enough contributions for him, some solid play and some shot volume and good chances, but not as much finishing as you would expect for a guy playing with the two of the three best scorers in the NHL. So definitely something to watch out for, though. But yeah, really good stuff today with Erin. You can follow her at Erin Kate Dolan. Does great stuff for FanDuel and FanDuel Sportsbook, which the NHL is partnered with, by the way. So great to have her on. And for Bob Bender, Rob Reese, Pete Jensen, we'll be back with you this Friday for another episode. So stick with us. Ask us questions on Twitter and Instagram at NHL Fantasy, and we'll talk to you next time.